Latin America, however, proved a laggard. It managed an average growth rate in real per-person incomes of just 1.9% in the 2000s, faster than in rich economies, but the lowest of the emerging world. In the 2010s, growth in the region ground to a near halt at just 0.5% per year, behind both the emerging country average and the rich world. Latin America's relatively high incomes, its larger economies are nearly all middle income, may have contributed to slower growth. The richer you are, the less scope to grow by borrowing established technologies from other places. Its isolation mattered too. The fastest growing emerging economies of the era were industrializing countries in Europe and Asia, which could latch on to the manufacturing supply chains of advanced neighbors. Few Latin American economies, apart from Mexico, enjoyed similar opportunities. And although the quality of governance, and of macroeconomic policy in particular, has improved markedly since the debt crisis and inflations of the 1980s and 1990s, corruption, crime, and volatile politics have made Latin America a less hospitable place for investors than it might have been. Latin America has averted a debt crisis so far. The Federal Reserve dollar swap lines enjoyed by Mexico and Brazil have shielded them against troubles sparked by dollar shortages. IMF credit lines available to Chile, Colombia, Mexico, and Peru have eased market pressure on the region. Central banks have been able to cut interest rates to provide something of a cushion against the pandemic's economic damage without provoking capital flight. Still, there is no escaping the fact that even the healthiest of Latin American economies faces a punishing road back to normality. The IMF's forecasts for growth in 2021 are decidedly tepid. GDP in the region is expected to expand by 3.7% next year, compared with 5.9% for the emerging world as a whole. Unless the growth in COVID-19 infections falls rapidly, even those meager projections will prove too optimistic. The reduction in inequality and poverty that was achieved in the past two decades is now at risk. The World Bank warns that poverty in the region could rise by as much as 23 million this year. Government policy seems unlikely to alleviate these hardships. Mass protests erupted in Bolivia, Chile, Colombia, and Ecuador last year. Political systems may be strained further. It matters, too, that Latin America's three largest economies are among its most troubled. Argentina has defaulted on its debt, again, and faces a risk of runaway inflation. Brazil's epidemic rivals America's as the worst in the world. It may need help from the IMF to avoid a debt crisis or turn instead to inflationary finance. Mexico suffers from threats to the rule of law, a president seemingly determined to scare off private investment, and an unpredictable northern neighbor, which is also its biggest export market. For Latin America, COVID-19 is a double shock, a brutally painful tragedy in its own right, and the definitive end of a growth opportunity that the region largely failed to exploit. The future of its economies and its societies depends on whether Latin Americans can be persuaded that there will be other chances in the future, and that next time its governments will do more to seize them.